Thank you so much, Pat. I say it every time she sings. There's no one that I love to hear sing more than Pat. It is such a blessing to hear her, and I thank her for it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I'm excited about my sermon today. I knew with it being a holiday, I knew a lot of people would be out of town, and I was kind of trying to figure out, you know, how I wanted to transition into the new year, and the Lord laid this on my heart. And I trust it'll be a blessing for you. It's entitled, A Recipe for a Happy New Year. A Recipe for a Happy New Year. Now, one of the things that I've done in the past week, probably more than I do throughout the whole year, is eat. Amen? How many have been doing the same? I've ate. And I've tried new things, and I've tried old things, and I've tasted some new recipes this year that I've liked. And here's the thing about a recipe. Can't make something wonderful without a recipe. But you know this about a recipe, right? All it takes is one missing ingredient that will destroy it. Now also, those of us who love to eat also know every once in a while you can add a little something to a regular recipe. And it's kind of like, who was that guy, Emerald? Didn't he say, bam, and it would all of a sudden become, bam, it'd be something that you would want to eat. Now, I want to talk to you about a recipe for New Year. I'm going to take an interesting passage of Scripture, by the way. I doubt very many people here that preach from the New Year's from this passage. But here's what it says. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. First thing I want to talk about is, you know, pressing forward. You know, God is the giver of many wonderful things in our life. And I could spend the whole next 30 minutes talking about the wonderful things that I have in life. Here's a few. He gives us new birth by faith. If we accept Jesus as our Savior, we get a second birth. We get a new birth. We get a new nature, new heart. We get a new life. And most importantly, we get new hope. Some of us need new hope in 2021. Amen? Boy, 2020 will not be circled in anybody's life calendar as their favorite year. If it's your favorite year, wow, you must have just really hit the Brinks truck. You should probably buy a lottery ticket because you are a lucky person. Most people would say 2020, very, very difficult. But now God has given us something neat. You know what he's given us? A new year, a chance to start over. 2020 is almost, and for church, it is done today. And 2021, we get to start over. We get a new start. Some of us that have not had the year that we wanted in 2020 will get the opportunity in 2021. To have a new year. Here's what else a new year means to some. It means a new job, new family responsibilities. For some of you, a new position to maintain. For some of you, your life's fixing to change forever. A new baby. Now, in this text, Paul looks at it two ways. He looks forward, and then he looks back. You can't really look forward without looking back. Did you know it? And you can't just look back. You got to look forward as well. They work hand in hand. They work together. And here's what Paul did, okay? He looked backward and thought of all that he had suffered for Christ. And that's not what my message is all about today, but I do want you to keep that in the back of your mind while you're listening to this text and listening to this sermon. No one in here today, I can assure you, has suffered for Christ in the way that Paul suffered. We have had suffering this year. We have had difficulties. But buddy, let me tell you, Paul went through it. So he thinks back about the suffering for Christ. And then he thinks about what all he was able to accomplish for Christ. And I'm going to tell you, as you head on 2020, and as the negativity of 2020 is well known, I challenge you in your own private time today to look back. There were a lot of good things that happened in your life in 2020. You say, please, Jeff, let me know. Just stop and think about it. We still live better than any other people in the world live in our country. Amen? I know some of you are just scared to death that the world's going to go, that United States is going to go under in 2021. It's not going to go under, okay? There may be some struggles like there have been in 2020, but the Lord will bless us if we honor Him, we do what we're supposed to do, we're going to be A-okay in 2021. Some of you in your personal life, you lost your job in 2020. You get a new opportunity in 2021 to do another job. You get a chance to right some of the wrongs. That's when Paul said, I am looking forward. Now, looking forward, you got to have a recipe to make everything that goes on in the future to be better. So here's our recipe, all right? Here's the first thing we got to do. We got to repent. Repent. We must repent. Our country needs to repent. Amen? I guess some of you think so, think not. I want to assure you, there are many things that we need to repent for. There are many things in our personal lives that we need to go before the Lord and repent. Wednesday night we took the Lord's Supper. And that's generally a time when people focus and think about things that they have not been doing, or I think just as importantly, the things that we're supposed to be doing that we've not been doing. It's a good time to repent. Repentance is the very first step to God. Did you know it? You can't skip over repentance. You can't say, Brother Jeff, I'll love points 2 and 3. I'd rather you skip point 1. You can't do it. The first step is repentance. Sin must be repented of before reaching God. That's why you have to confess your sin. We all know there's a famous preacher today that he calls it the S word, and he doesn't use the S word in his church. When I grew up, the S word was something different. Don't panic. I'm not going to tell you what the S word was when I was growing up. But it certainly was not sin. And I am in no way here to throw stones at him except to say this. I don't know how you can help your church congregation, and I don't know how you can help anybody that you know, because the first step to getting Jesus as your Savior is to repent of your S word, sin. You got to do it. I don't know how you can finagle anything else to work. And by the way, you can't. That's right. There is no answer. There is no way. It's the first step is to repent. You've got to acknowledge your sin. Now listen, does the Lord know that you're a sinner? He does. Stay with me. This is elementary, but it's not. Yes, He already knows. Then why does He ask us to repent of that sin? You ever thought about that? He knows everything. Kind of like when you were a parent, you know, and your mom said, when your dad gets home, you're going to get your tail lit up. You know full well that mom had already gone in that room and told dad, but what would dad say? What'd you do wrong? Teaching repentance. So the Lord already knows everything you've done. Do you need to repent? You have to repent. What's the first thing repentance does? It humbles you. Humbles, however you want to say. I miss Lowell Boggs with that. We always laugh. I'm humble and he's humble. Whatever you want to call it. It humbles you. To stay before God, even though Freddie already knows about it, to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for, and to admit your sin. It humbles you. It acknowledges a relationship. It acknowledges that you have done him wrong, and because you love him and you want to make things right with him, you repent. I brought this up 100 times, but I have to once more. It's always hard to say I was wrong, isn't it? Fonzie, I was wrong. Fonzie ain't the only person in the world that couldn't say it was wrong, okay? I have people in my life that absolutely, they just can't do that. And I got to tell you something. If you struggle with doing that, it makes me wonder if you've ever asked the Lord for repentance and said to him, I was wrong. Now, there are people like me who are wrong all the time, okay? I readily, knowing that I'm on the internet, knowing that I'm in front of my church, I'm not excusing doing wrong. You shouldn't try to do wrong. You should do your best to live holy as he is holy. But let me just put it down the way it is. My wife is sitting here. I have friends out here in this crowd. I am not perfect and I do things wrong. Say amen to that, okay? Because I'm going to turn around and say the same thing about you. Okay? Amen. Fred Stotts does things wrong. Priscilla, keep it to yourself. Don't amen that. Okay? But he does. And I can go on down through the whole line. We do things wrong. Here's the key. Do you repent and confess what you've done wrong. Well, I don't need to, Jeff. Lord knows everything. Wait a minute. Yes, you do. Put it in the Bible. The first step is repentance. And in order to repent, you have to admit. You can't repent for something that you've done wrong if you don't realize you've done wrong. So the first dash in the recipe is you got to repent. You can't skip to the next two without doing it. I joked about Fonzie and I joke about people. It is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. To just sit, it's kind of crazy, in front of an all-knowing God and say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I never understood really repentance until one time a preacher explained, it's a restoration of fellowship. It puts you back one with the Lord. You got to repent. And if you're struggling with that, you're struggling with your sin nature. I'm not throwing stones at you. I like you. I tell you there are times when I struggle with things, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I just go, great, I get to talk to the Lord and admit I've done wrong. No. But you got to do it. Repentance. That's the first shot that has to go in the recipe. Because of sin, relationship and fellowship with God is lost. You understand that, don't you? Think about in your married life and just be honest. When there is a schism with your spouse, when there's a disagreement between you, talked ugly or not nicely to each other, you're still married. The relationship is still there. But let's face it, we're not sitting there walking around holding hands with our arm around each other and everybody happy-go-lucky until we fix the problem. Amen? Men, don't try to put your arm around your wife when it's like that. You could get a serious shoulder injury when your arm gets thrown way back this way and you get spun around. Believe me, I've tried. I know. I've always thought, well, if you just hug somebody, everything's A-okay. Not necessarily. You got to repent and restore fellowship. Now, it's interesting when we talk about repentance today. You're still the Lord's child. You understand that? You're still His. If you repented once and asked God to forgive you and come into your heart, He never leaves you. But who wants to live their Christian life out of fellowship with the Lord? And you can have the Lord in your heart and live out of fellowship with Him. You have a child, you have a child. But if you have problems with that child and you and that child may not be speaking, you may whatever, it's still your child. But you're not in fellowship. You are not getting from that relationship what you're put here to get. Repentance is a huge, huge part of the recipe for a happy new year. I want to talk about David for a moment. I tell people this all the time because this is something you can say about the Bible. You're allowed to have opinions. Did you know what? David is my favorite person in the Bible, besides Jesus. And I'm going to tell you why. I like a lot of other Bible stories. I love Samson, Daniel, and Lions. I'm all in that. I'm going to tell you why I love David. Because the Lord, in His infinite wisdom, when He wrote the Bible, allowed David's whole life to be an open book. And I understand David. David is a child prodigy, Otis. David has done something great as a child that few in their whole life ever do for the Lord. He's been slaying bears. He's been slaying lions. He has killed Goliath. I always can remember Goliath's dimensions because they say he was 9'6". Paul, you know how I remember that. A basketball goal is 10 feet tall. So I look at a basketball goal, cut about that much off, and that's Goliath. 2.5 feet more of Shaquille O'Neal. A kid doing that, that's big. So David has these mountaintop experiences. And David goes on, by the way, David is a neat person to study historically. You can actually leave him out of the Bible and you can study the king that he was. A fascinating king. A good king. You know what David does one day? Everybody else likes to talk about Bathsheba. And you know, there's 15 things in David and Bathsheba you can preach on. I want to tell you about David and Bathsheba. Do you know why all this bad happened to David? Because he wasn't out at war with his group that he was supposed to be out with. He had never seen Bathsheba. He would never have been home to see her. He dropped his guard down. So anyway, here's David. All this good, by the way, and you make sure you have this attitude as a Christian. David made a big, big mistake. But this was the man after God's own heart. Okay? And you know what David says? And this is huge. He says, Lord, restore unto me, I want to see if you're listening, my salvation. Did he say that? No. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He is out of fellowship with the Lord at this time in his life. Is the Lord still with him? Are you kidding me? Have you seen everything David's done? And he promises to never leave you or forsake. He's there. He's quenched. The fellowship is broken. And David says, I know you're there. I know I've done wrong. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Not my salvation. He still had it. But the joy. Pat, he's out of fellowship. The person who has led him to do all these great things in his life, he has offended, he has hurt, he is not one with. Repentance is the main key to the recipe. It has to happen before you get to the rest. It's like trying to make an apple pie without an apple. It's not an apple pie. All right? Don't try that, by the way. Terrible, terrible idea. Got to have the repentance. Now, let's go into the second thing. Repentance is important. The next thing, we need to repent, and then we need to resolve. Resolve, that's what resolution. We call it New Year's resolutions. Now listen, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes on this and keep going. I think New Year's resolutions are awesome. I like to listen to positive speeches. And from Christians and even from worldly people, I listen, where's Mike at? I listened to one yesterday from Mark Miro, the wrestler, one of the best speeches to high school I've ever heard about loving your parents and respecting. And then as I listened to his, I listened to Arnold Schwarzenegger talking to a college campus about his life. And I don't want to go deep into his story. He was raised in poverty. He didn't want to be a farmer. So you know what he said I did? He said, I started setting goals. He went to a store and he saw a magazine and he saw a picture of a man who was Mr. Universe. And he said, I set a goal that I'm going to be like this guy. And he said, I was a skinny runt. And he said, I took the picture home and he said, I determined the way I was going to get out of the country I was in and make a life for myself was I set a goal to be Mr. Olympia. Guess what he became? The youngest Mr. Olympia ever. He then realized in America the way to make money was to get into movies. Here's my point, not to brag on Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's what he kept talking about to all these kids. You got to have goals. You got to have goals. You got to set goals. If you want to be anything in life, you got to set goals. Can I tell you something? I'm certainly not Arnold Schwarzenegger. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask to have big old arms and stuff like that. Don't know if the Lord will give it to me, but here's what I know. If you don't set goals, you will not accomplish. Amen? Spiritual and physical, and you need them both. Just a moment on physical, because you can do this on your own. I don't need to waste a whole lot of preaching time, but it's important enough to bring in. Set physical goals for yourself, okay? Maybe you really and truly want to lose weight this year, okay? Set it as a goal, okay? Maybe you want to quit smoking. And I'm just grabbing them at random, okay? If it's you, I didn't write, okay? You want to quit smoking? You want to get off of medicine? Maybe you want to have a better relationship with your children? Maybe you want to sell more in your job than you sold last. Whatever. Each one of us live a different life. Set some goals. You'll never accomplish without setting the goals. Now, I'm leaving the physical to the spiritual because I believe if the spiritual's right, it's even easier for you to handle the physical ones. Spiritual goals. Everyone should have spiritual goals for 2021. And your goal's got to be to grow. It can't be the same as 2020. If you accomplish spiritually in 2020 what you want to accomplish, don't brag. Thank God that you did that and set bigger goals for 2021. You're going to need him more in 2021 than 2020. Amen? I don't know about you, but every year I need him more and more and more and more and more. So you got to resolve to live for the Lord. You know what David said in Psalm 116? Because he hath inclined his ear to me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know what calling upon him as long as I live is? That's talking to God. What is that? It's praying. Praying. He made a resolution he was going to pray. Paul in the Bible made a resolution to win souls. He said in Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer is that Israel might be saved. Mike, the whole country. How does that happen? One person at a time. It's one church at a time. It's one Sunday school class at a time. It's one couple at a time. It's one person at a time. Folks, can I tell you something? There are people all in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, and in our lives who the main thing they need is not a job, but they need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you're the one that needs to tell them how to get it. Amen? I want to tell you something. If there was somebody in our congregation today that knew 100% the cure for diabetes, and you didn't tell me, I'm going to do my best not to be angry with you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm very disappointed in you. I am. The nerve that you would sit on it, knowing that all of us have family to raise, people to help, that we know many people to have it, and you have it, and you sit on it, and you don't tell me, shame. Shame, shame, shame. It's terrible. I would ask anyone in here, if you have something that can help other people, shame on you if you don't tell people about it. You see where I'm going, don't you? If there's something that you know about that will help many people in our congregation, you need to tell them. Everyone agree with that? Say amen. Oh, you have it. Not a cure for diabetes. You find it? Let me know, please. But no, you don't have that, because they're still working on it. But I'm going to tell you, you have something, I'm assuming. Maybe you're here today and you don't, and I'd love for you to get it today. But most of you in here today, I assume, have this little thing in your heart. You know what it is? It's Jesus. Do you tell everybody about him? Paul says, Otis, I'm going to win Israel. And he said, I'm going to win Israel. I'm going to tell every person I see, every person I come around, I'm going to win them to Jesus. What a year 2021 would become if each one of us said in our heart of hearts, our goal was to win someone. I'm not asking you to win thousands. You might be that person. But win someone for Jesus. Can you do that? Say amen. Let me tell you, you can't without the Lord's help, but you 110% can with his help. Amen. People need the Lord. Remember that song, Pat? Well, I don't know where Pat went. People need the Lord. Oh, they still need him today. A resolution. Set a goal. I'm going to win somebody to Jesus. Set a goal. I'm going to pray every day. Set a goal. I'm going to read God's word. I barely open the window door to my personal life. I don't like people in there, but I'm opening it for a minute, okay? When you pastor somewhere over 16 years, you got to start really digging. Are people going to sit there and say, well, I heard that sermon 3 years ago. And by the way, there are times and a place to do that. But I have purpose that I, this year in my spiritual, I want to study books of the Bible and preach books of the Bible. I want our congregation to know the Word of God. Now, let me just tell you something. When I say that, that is the hardest thing for someone like me to do in the world. Because I'm telling you, I'm a terrible student. And I'm telling you, when something's not as exciting as I think it ought to be, I like to move on. I'm the worst at reading a real book. If it gets boring on page 78, I go to the last chapter and I figure, well, if it's that good, I'll come back to it. Terrible way to do it. But that's my personality. But here's what I know about the Bible. Every word is in the Bible. May not be as fancy, may not be as fun. We all like to see a Daniel in the lion's den. We all like to see a Samson pulling down a building. We all like to see David killing a Goliath. Everyone likes that. It's great reading in the scripture. And it's in there for a reason, because it's great. But sometimes the historical, everything's in there for a reason. And I have purposed that I am going to do that. Now, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to start. But that's my goal. That is a simple goal for some people, not for others. But that's a goal. Set goals spiritually. Folks, we need to make a difference. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says we don't know the day nor the hour which the Lord is going to come. So I'm not going to give you a day and I'm not going to give you an hour because I can't. But do you know what the Bible says? It says you can look at the seasons. And there are also biblical prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the Lord comes. Have you ever studied it? Most of them are fulfilled. Did you know it? Which means what? He could come in the next second. Are you ready to meet him? You say, you mean he could come? Yes, absolutely. And if we lived our life that way, would our life be different? Let me ask you about your home today. If Jesus were coming to your home, what would it look like? And let me tell you what would be happening. If Kim knew Jesus was coming to our house for dinner, don't ask me where Kim's at. She's not at church. We're getting all, what would we do? We'd have everything a certain way. Now, here's my answer to that. Guess who's coming to your house for dinner today? Jesus. Guess who's getting in your car? Guess who's looking at your text? Jesus. Guess who's listening to your phone conversations? Jesus. He said, I didn't want to hear that. You shouldn't want to hear that. It should make you go, resolve to be more like him. Now, let's go back. We repent and we resolve. Next thing we do is put on our glasses so we can read. Repent, resolve. Here's the last thing. We are to remember. That's when Paul talks about, Mike, looking back. We look forward and we look back. We must remember that we can never repay Christ for all that he has done. The fact that we can preach his word, the fact that we can sit in church on Sunday, and I know a lot of people are gone. You knew it'd be that way with the holidays, but all of us need this. Amen? We need to refocus. The clothes that we have, the money that we have, the food that we eat, the families that we have, the Christmas we just celebrated. Many of you came up to me before church and told me about your Christmas and the kids and the gift and the fun and everything that you had. I'm not minimizing as a parent that you work hard to provide for your kids, but you understand that God gave you that job. God gave you the ability to do what you needed to do and gave you the funds to be able to do that for them. Remember whose child you are. Think about this. He went to the cross and took your place. We're a red, white, and blue church. You know why we're red, white, and blue? Because we love our country. Amen? And I'm going to start saying it this year because there's going to be a change in administration. If you want to go in my office, you want to talk politics with me, you can do that. Not in church, but somewhere I'll do that. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Whatever initiative our military serves in, I can have an opinion, but when whoever decides those men and women are going, I'm going to support them. Amen? And I'm going to love them. Even if it's not the cause I would send them for, because of the sacrifice that's going to be made to give us what we have. You need to remember the sacrifice that was made for you. God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you. And you understand the Bible is clear in its interpretation that if you were the only person on this earth, he still would have sent his son. Makes you pretty special. Amen? Makes you important. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that. It's about 10 minutes till 12. I became the pastor of Star Lake 16 years ago. I'm 52. For 36 years, every Sunday of my life, I went to church and heard my father preach. Never on Sunday morning did he ever preach that he does not, and he's doing it right now, I guarantee you. He is tying his sermon in to talk about what? The cross. Every Sunday he reminds people, no matter what he preached on, it's very, very important, but let's close with this. And he offers the chance to receive Jesus as your Savior, and he talks about the cross. We don't do it every Sunday. We got a different setup. I'm confident in how we do it, but I want you to understand something. You should never, ever, ever forget. When you're not happy, when you're upset, when you think things aren't going your way, you better remember that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. Are you grateful for that? Say amen. Don't ever forget it. That is an everyday thing the rest of your life. Don't ever forget it. It's the most important thing. Remember all he has done for you in the past year. I do understand. I'm telling you, 2020 has been rough. But he's done a lot of good for you this year in 2020. Yeah, we're here. Right on. You do realize in our own country, there are people that can't sing Christmas carols because their government doesn't allow them to sing in church. You do know in Orlando, there are churches where they won't sing because of the coronavirus. That's between them and God, and I'm not criticized. I'm just saying, you can come in here and you can sing with Brother Jeff, and you can sing loud because the worst singer in the church this Sunday was directing you, and that's me, and you'll sound good. Amen? You can sing. You can worship. You're here. You're in one piece. You may say I'm a little more feeble than I was. Maybe. But you're here. Would you like for us to load up? We can't really do it because of COVID, but you know, we could go to a nursing home right now and we could all unload. And why don't you go in there and talk to them? And when they ask you how church was and you watch their heart drop and you watch their eyes as they would give anything to sit in church where we would do anything to get out of here. Think about it. Thank God for all they did. Remember, I sat in the pew for 36 years. I remember sitting in church. And I look at the Lord's Supper, and you know what it says right there? This word, Stark Lake's a little bit smaller than what I grew up with. This says, in remembrance of me. You know what mine always said? This do, in remembrance of me. And boy, I'd look at that. And I remember years ago, those of you who've been Southern Baptists a long time, on the back page of the bulletin was always something about somebody on the staff and the mission board that drew a picture, and I'd always put a mustache on the guy and stuff. And I'd look at this do in remembrance of me. And I'd look at it, and I'd look and I'd stare at it. And I remember one time I went home and said, well, what are we doing in remembrance? And of course, the Lord's Supper, like Wednesday, led into other things. Remember what the Lord has done for us. You got to repent. You got to resolve. And you got to remember. Here's the last thing, and this is very important. We must remember, this may be our last year. This may be our last year. He said, well, Brother Jeff, that's pretty morbid. Oh, Paul and Daniel are here. Christmas plans got all messed up, didn't they, Daniel? You know why? Because somebody finished their last year. You need to live your life like it is your last year. You don't know when you're going to see the Lord. Listen, if he hadn't come, my prayer is that you remain healthy and you're able to do... I'm not a morbid guy, but the real matter of fact is it will be a modern day miracle if next January 1st, everyone that's in this church today will be here next year. It's just not the way it works. Somebody will not be. Somebody will go on to be with the Lord. Somebody will, sometimes it's a tragedy. Sometimes it's just a beautiful passing, but just the law of averages just tell you when you're in church, it's just not going to be that way. Remember, this might be your last year. I was sitting here trying to plan my 2021. I'm a calendar. Everything goes on my calendar. Right now, I'm already filling up stuff all over my calendar, and I live by my calendar, and this is how it works with me. It's first come, first serve on my calendar. It's the only way I can do it. So if somebody asks me to do a wedding or they want me to come to somebody's function or somebody's birthday, like someone called me the other day, I want to make sure this is such and such 40th birthday, put on July 14th. I went, okay, let me look. And on July 14th, it's yours. And I started planning. And I got to thinking, what do I want to do this year if it's the last year that I can do it? I'm not old, but I don't move like I used to move. I fall off a snowmobile like I did. It hurts. I don't get up so quick. All my life I've wanted to go to Hawaii. I still want to go to Hawaii. But the idea of flying that many hours on an airplane, I'm just not sure I can do it. Kim will put our tickets nowhere near each other, I can assure you, because it just... My legs will start hurting about 10 minutes into the trip. What do I want to accomplish? Because this could be the last year that I can do it. Forget Hawaii. Forget Pro Football Hall of Fame, which I didn't. All this stuff's cool, great, nice. Again, have goals to do that stuff if you really want to do it. What do you want to accomplish for Jesus if this is your last year before you see him? You do understand that we're going to answer. Baptist, be very careful with this, okay? Very careful. Our sins are forgiven. You believe that? Say amen. It is a fact, okay? However, you will still answer for how you live as a Christian. You do understand that. If you want to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, you remember I was saved in revival in 1989. And you know what he's going to say if you were, Fred? Yes, I was there. Yes. I'm in your. But then everything you did, that should be very intimidating. 5 years and not do anything for the Lord and not be held responsible for it. You stand up, go to hell. Jesus is the reason you won't go to hell. But when you get Jesus, the Bible says your works are going to follow after you. So I say to you, if you're going to see him in the next year, are you ready to see him? I got to tell you something. I don't expect anybody to say amen to that. Most of the time, if you think about it, it's, oh me. Because I don't know about you, the small things that I do for him, there's so much more I could be doing for him. Amen? So much more. And he tells me that all the time. So much more. But you ought to be doing this. And that sins of omission and commission, does everyone understand that? And I'm done. We have to be careful that we look at sin as lying, cheating. Is that a sin? It is. Amen. And breaking the team, blah, blah, all that. Yes. But many, many times, and most of the times with Christians, it's the sins of not doing the things that we're supposed to do that we're guilty of. See, when I talked about Paul wanting to win Israel to the Lord, Paul wanting to win a soul to the Lord, it is not your decision to decide if you ought to tell people about Jesus or not. If you're not telling others about Jesus, you're sinning. There's that S word again. If you're not trying to be holy as he is holy, you're sinning. You may not be killing somebody. You may not be committing adultery. You may not be stealing. Are you living a holy life? You say, Brother Jeff, I've heard you preach a lot of times, and this was by far not the most positive sermon you've ever preached. Well, I got to tell you, there are times when we look back, where we need to look back and realize we're not doing enough of what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? Again, amen maybe, maybe oh me. Repent. Got to do that first. Repent. Resolve, where the idea of New Year's resolutions come in. And then remember. Remember. There are times alone when I tell my children when they're going through things, listen, remember whose kid you are. Remember what you've been taught. You stop. You go on with your life and you're growing up and you're getting older, and I'm good with that, and I'm watching, and I'm not stepping in where I always used to step in on everything. But this is what I'm going to tell you. You better remember from which you came. You better remember that every good and perfect gift you have in your life did not come from your daddy and did not come from your mother. It came from the Lord. So you better keep your relationship with him the way it ought to be. You better remember. Remember. Paul knew he couldn't go forward without first looking back. He wanted to go forward. He makes it clear. He wants to go further. He wants to do more. But he has to remember in order to do that. What's the Lord laying on your heart that you should remember? Some of you remember days when you taught Sunday school. It was the happiest days of your life. You're not doing it now. Do it again. So you remember great days with teenagers? Do it again. You remember days of singing in musicals and being in the choir? Do it again. You remember days when you woke up and the first thing you wanted to do was to get into God's Word? Start doing it again. Read your Bible, pray every day, and what will you do? Who remembers this song? I'm not so sure I'll get up from it. Remember it, Daniel? Read your Bible, pray every day, and all the kids would get down on their knees, and what would you do? You'd grow. Yeah, I know. And you grow, 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 and you grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Are you growing? Remember, you were. There was a time in your life when you were. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we stand for our hymn of invitation. Did you notice the order of the points today? Couldn't be flip-flop today. Got to repent first. You just got to do that. Maybe there's someone here today, you cannot get to point two and three because you got to repent. Then take care of one. And listen, if you grow in one area, praise God. Repent. They say, Brother Jeff, oh boy, yeah, that's me and I'm doing it. Okay, good. What are you resolving to do with 2021? Is that kind of like be the way I am now? You can't do that. You will backslide. You'll slide back. You don't stay the same. So the idea of I want to be the same guy, same lady I was, you're missing out on what Christian growth is all about. So you can't do that. Resolve to grow. And then you need to remember. Some of you need to think back. Some of you need to remember, like I said earlier, you know what? It just helps you to refocus and think about every day when you're tempted and think about every day when you're tired to remember what Jesus did on the cross for you. He sent his son. Whatever it would be, let the Lord have a sweet way.